Hi Church, it would have been so much better to be able to connect with you in person this morning instead of speaking to a camera, but we know that God exceeds all our natural limitations in this time, so praise God for YouTube and Facebook and all these things. But it is so exciting that some of you are meeting in your small groups this morning for Sunday socials, and we really trust that you enjoy the fellowship and the worship and the sermon together. I really believe that God is doing a deep and big Holy Spirit work in our church community at the moment, and I want to implore you to continue to let God do so in your lives. I have absolutely loved the Holy Spirit series. I myself have been deeply touched, extremely encouraged, and very challenged by it, but it is such a blessing and I'm so excited for the rest of it. May God really come change us through His Word and through His Spirit so that we can go out and impact wherever we move in this time. And in speaking about the Holy Spirit series, we are ending off the fruit of the series section this morning, and I have the privilege to do so. And as we have been reading from Galatians 5 verse 22 to 23 from different translations throughout this Holy Spirit series, I want to read from the Passion Translation this morning. And it says, "But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in its varied expressions." David Pawson, in his book Unlocking the Bible, calls these varied expressions the different flavors of the Holy Spirit. And as we as Christians walk in the Holy Spirit and continue to walk in the Spirit, this fruit begins to grow, and it should be effortless. As we draw near to God, as we spend time with Him, as we allow Him to transform us, as we renew our minds, and as we yield to the working in the Spirit in and through us, God comes and He does inside of us what we cannot humanly achieve. There are many unbelievers who might walk in one or two of these fruit, but it is only in Jesus Christ and through Jesus that all nine of these flavors of the Holy Spirit can be manifested. Jesus did it, and He gave us the Holy Spirit to empower us, so there's hope we can do it as well. An apple tree does not try very hard to produce apples or something resembling an apple. By its very nature, it produces apples when it gets enough sunlight, when it gets enough water, and if it's planted in the right soil with the right nutrients. And the same applies for us as Christians. If we bask in the presence of the Son of God, and if we allow the water of the Holy Spirit, that living water, to bubble up inside of us, and if we get enough nutrients in through the Word of God, we should effortlessly grow the fruit of the Spirit. It should happen. And let's go and remind ourselves again what this fruit looks like. Verse 22 to 23. "But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. Joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit." And we know this is gentleness and self-control. "Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless." Pawson continues to write that the first three fruit is how we relate to God. It's peace, it's love, it's joy. The second three relates to how you go around your life with other people, in relationship with other people. Patience, kindness, goodness. But the last three, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, is how you manage yourself in different situations. And by the help of the Holy Spirit, we will be and should be able to manage our impulses, our desires, and our responses by reigning in the flesh And we can only do so by the help of the Holy Spirit in us, by yielding to Him and declaring Lordship. His Lordship. I am not my own, therefore I do not behave like I want to, and I do not do what I want. Today I have the amazing privilege and challenge to share around self-control and gentleness, because like Paul said, it's not as if I already attained or that I am already perfected, but we press on. So church, let us press on together today, and may the word settle in us and change us so that we can bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. In a world where offense and outrage is rife, it takes such care on our behalf as Christians to walk in gentleness, or other words, lowliness, humility, and meekness. In a world where people constantly promote themselves, where they push their own agendas, where they fight for their rights, we see this everywhere in social media at the moment, the very idea of gentleness or meekness might be misconstrued as being weak or too nice. But let me tell you, it takes such strength and such strength of character to actually walk in gentleness the way Jesus did. Jesus says the meek, or we can say the gentle, will inherit the earth. So we can stop pushing our way forward. We can stop manipulating things to work in our way and stop pushing our own agendas and allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through us as we see God's plan unfold in our lives. So gentleness, the definition here is sensitivity and kindness of behavior founded on strength and prompted by love. It is being considerate, it is being mild in mood, soft, tender, well-managed. It is not sudden, it is not rash, it is not angry or harsh. It takes care not to harm anyone. So the essence of gentleness is that I take such careful consideration as to how I come across so that I don't inflict harm to anyone. And that is, and this is the clincher, I am careful not to harm anyone even when I am being wronged or harmed myself. And that's where it really becomes hard, because there we have to draw on the help of the Holy Spirit and our example in Jesus Christ. Imagine you being in, and some of you are, in a work situation which is really toxic. You might be mistreated, you might be spoken ill of, for example, and God has a bigger plan for you there, a bigger redemptive purpose, and you have to decide by the help of the Spirit to come in lowly like Jesus did, to come in humbly and respond in these situations the way Jesus would have, in gentleness. And this kind of gentleness, like I said, is only found in Jesus. And when I think of gentleness, I see an image of the Lamb of God, Jesus as the Lamb. He was fully God. He humbled himself and became fully man, died a humiliating death, because there was a bigger picture, because there was a plan, and Jesus submitted to that plan, even though it was hard. It was not about him. He knew that it was not about him. He knew it was about the plan of the Father and salvation for the world. In Isaiah 53, verse 7, it says, "He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, and like a sheep silent before her shearers, he did not open his mouth." And like I said, that's where we have to really draw on the help of the Holy Spirit. And I want to talk about gentleness and later self-control in the light of Matthew 26 today, because there's no better example for this than Jesus himself. We are going to look at the scripture in reverse, so please bear with me, and we're going to start reading from Matthew 26, verse 49 to 64, where Jesus is betrayed and arrested, and recognize the gentleness and the meekness that Jesus displays in these horrible situations. So we know now they're in the garden, and then Judas comes with the soldiers to come and arrest Jesus. So he went right up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. "Friend," Jesus asked him, "why have you come?" Then they came up, took hold of Jesus, and arrested him. At that moment, one of those with Jesus reached out his hand and drew his sword. He struck the high priest's slave and cut off his ear. Then Jesus told him, "Put your sword back in its place, because all who take up a sword will perish by a sword. Or do you think that I cannot call on my Father and he will provide me at once with more than legions of angels? How then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way?" So we see here that Jesus didn't want to harm anyone. He didn't want to thwart the scriptures, the prophetic plan of the scriptures. At that time, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a criminal to capture me? Every day I used to sit teaching in the temple complex and you didn't arrest me. But all this has happened so that the prophetic scriptures or the prophetic plan would be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and ran away. And then Jesus is taken away by the soldiers to Caiaphas and the religious scholars, where he will be insulted, ridiculed, and false witnesses come against him. And then two men stand up and say that, "Listen here, this man Jesus said that he's going to destroy the temple and then rebuild it in 3 days. And we know Jesus said that. So then the high priest stood up and said to him, "Don't you have an answer to what these men are testifying against you?" But Jesus kept silent. Then the high priest said to him, "By the living God, I place you under oath. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." And Jesus here responds in gentleness. "You have said it," Jesus told him. "But I tell you, in the future, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven." And then after that, we know he's mistreated, he's spat upon, and taken away. And in this scripture, we can see gentleness displayed in Jesus' refusal to use his power to harm anyone or to harm the prophetic plan of God. We see his unwillingness to lash out at people. He's not wounding them. He's not trying to take vengeance. He's not spiteful or answering in a spiteful way. And he doesn't want to control the situation either. He lets it play out as God wills. Gentleness personified in Jesus wants no harm to be done to anyone, because gentleness submits to God in fear of him. Gentleness does not take offense. Gentleness is controlled strength. Jesus could have called down the angels to come and help him to escape the situation, and he doesn't. Because gentleness yields to the bigger plan of God. There's no entitlement. There's no fighting for my rights. There's no enforcing my authority or my power in the situation. We rather see gentleness refuting violence and eliciting gentleness from others. I can just imagine when the soldiers were fighting and the ear gets chopped off, after Jesus gently rebukes them, I can imagine that the whole situation calmed down. He elicited gentleness from others. And then gentleness requires response rather than reaction. And we see that in the way that Jesus responds to Judas. I think I would have wanted to slap him or kick him or something. And how he handles the guards and even the priests at the end. And we also see later when Jesus is crucified, him crying out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And sometimes we get it right by grace, and other times we miserably fail, because it's really hard to control your impulses when you are being harmed. I'm just thinking at home, when I have my lists and my agendas and I have to clean house and all these things that I have made my priority, when I get when that's messed with and I have to ask my children 3 times to do the same thing, gentleness quickly flies out the door and it becomes really hard. But if I can yield to the Spirit, if I can wait on the Spirit and realize that there's a bigger priority or a bigger agenda or a bigger plan at play here, for example, connection with my family, relationship, discipleship and disciplining of my children. If I can see that and put that above my lists and my agenda, it's so much easier to respond in gentleness because I don't want my way all the time. Jesus was such a gentleman. He even rebukes in gentleness. The Bible says it's his goodness that leads us to repentance and it's his gentleness that makes us great, as David says in Psalm 18. Our prayer can only be that we be made more and more in the beautiful likeness of Jesus. And I want to share around the next fruit, self-control, in the same context as Matthew 26. Because we see how Jesus responds when he's treated in a horrible way. And self-control, the definition for self-control, is the ability to control oneself, in particular one's emotions, thoughts, lust, and desires, especially in difficult situations. It is the ability to tell yourself no and make it stick. Self-control, or as we see in the scripture, spirit strength or strength of spirit, works like this. You are a spirit. You have a soul, a mind, emotions, and a will, and you live in a body, your flesh. And as Christians, we cannot be controlled by our flesh or by our emotions or what we think about a situation or what I want to do and my agenda. We need to submit to the Holy Spirit and be led by our spirit man. And then we will have the spirit strength to say no to things of the flesh. The Greek word egrateia means having command, having mastery or lordship over one's own behavior. Synonyms for self-control: dignity, discretion, poise, restraint, sobriety, balance, discipline, stability, strength of character, and temperance. So we can see here that a beautiful picture is being created in how we can act and behave. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 to 27, "Don't you know that the runners in a stadium all race, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way to win the prize. Now everyone who competes exercises self-control in everything. However, they do it to receive a crown that will fade away, but we a crown that will never fade. Therefore, I do not run like one who runs aimlessly or box like one beating the air. Instead, I discipline my body, my flesh, and bring it under strict control so that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified." The Amplified says it so beautifully. "But like a boxer, I buffet my body, handle it roughly, discipline it by hardship, and subdue it." People, our flesh needs to be subdued and mastered. And we need the Holy Spirit for this. So let's look at Matthew 26 again. Here we see the disciples that have been walking with self-control himself, failing miserably. But we cannot be too hard on them because they did not have the Holy Spirit like we do. Let's see what happens. Matthew 26. "Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he told the disciples, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' Taking along Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, 'My soul is swallowed up in sorrow to the point of death. Remain here and stay awake with me.' Going a little further, he fell face down and prayed, 'My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will.' Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he asked Peter, 'So, couldn't you stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray so that you won't enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And here we know Jesus goes away twice to ask the Father if this cup can pass, but every time submitting to the will of the Father. And every time he comes back and he finds the disciples sleeping again. Their spirit was willing, but their flesh is weak. And then we know Judas and the soldiers come to arrest him. We see Jesus imploring the disciples to stay awake with him and to pray, because I believe he knew what was coming and they lacked the spirit strength. They could not stay awake. And we see in the Passion Translation so beautifully, keep alert and pray that you'll be spared from this time of testing. You should have learned by now that your spirit is eager enough, but your humanity is weak. Jesus knew the trials that they would be facing just after this. He knew that Peter would be tempted 3 times to deny Jesus. It makes me wonder what would have happened had the disciples stayed awake and pray with Jesus like he asked. Would their spirits have been stronger? Would the one disciple had enough self-control not to cut off the soldier's ear? Would all of the disciples had enough spirit strength to endure the chaos and the absolute disaster that they were to face and not run away? Would Peter have been able, through spirit strength, because he prayed, not to deny Jesus? We know that in God's sovereignty, he knew how it all had to play out. But it makes you wonder, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And on the other hand, we see Jesus, who displays the utmost self-control in the most horrific circumstances. We see that he was extremely anguished, to the point of sweating blood and feeling as if he was dying. He was extremely sorrowful. And yet, he does not listen to his flesh. He does not listen to what he's feeling or what he's experiencing, but he submits to the will of his Father. He prays, he presses in, but not my will be done, Lord, but yours. And we need to understand here that even though Jesus was fully God, he was also fully man. And the Bible says that he would have been tempted in the same way that we would have been in that exact same circumstances. But Jesus has the spirit strength to stand and say no, to stick with the plan of God. There's a bigger plan. And you know what? We have to realize that if we have a bigger God, yes, in our lives, it becomes so much easier to say no to the wrong things or to the flesh. Have a bigger God, yes. See God's bigger picture for your life. And if we look at gentleness and self-control, we can easily come to the conclusion that we need the help of the Holy Spirit to walk in it. And this is where lordship comes in. This is very important. If you say that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you have to give the Holy Spirit full lordship over all of your faculties, your mind, your emotions, your will, and your flesh, because you are not your own. We are called to be ambassadors of heaven, and we should act as Jesus would have in every situation. We need the Holy Spirit, because we have to do so even when it becomes really hard. Jesus is and was our example. He gave us the Holy Spirit, the helper, the dynamos power within us to be able to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. And if we say yes to the bigger plan of God, to God's will, it becomes so much easier to actually say no to the things that are not of God. Colossians 3 verse 12 says, clothe yourselves therefore as God's own chosen ones, his own picked representatives, who are purified and holy and well-beloved by God himself, by putting on behavior marked by tender-hearted pity and mercy, kind feeling, lowly opinion of yourselves, gentle ways, and patience, which is tireless and long-suffering and has the power to endure whatever comes with good temper. So here we see the self-control as well. And as we walk with Jesus, our spirit is strengthened. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is produced in and through us. And it's without fleshly effort, because it is something that God comes and He does within us. Something that we cannot do on our own. And I just have a few questions for all of us this morning. I know people usually come to me and say, oh, you're so gentle. And then I think, oh, you haven't seen me at home. It really is something that I want to walk in, and I don't always get right. But let's look at these questions and ask ourselves if this is true. Are you getting the right spirit nutrients to grow the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Are you feeding your spirit, or are you actually feeding the flesh and strengthening your flesh? Are you putting on Christ? Are you walking in the character of the new man so that you can be a representative of Christ Jesus wherever you go? And then the last question is there a bigger God yes in your life so that it's easier to say no to the things that aren't of God? I hope that you pray with me so that the fruit of the Spirit be manifested in and through us after this season. May we continue to allow God to come and do this in our hearts. Let's pray together. Father God, we just come and declare again our absolute dependence on your Holy Spirit. We want to declare once again your lordship over our lives, your lordship over our minds, over our emotions, over our wills, over our behavior. Lord, we declare that we are not our own, but we belong to you. Father, help us to be true ambassadors of Christ in every situation, whether it be at work, at home, in the car, that we can respond in gentleness and self-control wherever we go. Father, we declare that we cannot do this on our own. We need your help, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Jesus, that you are renewing us day by day, and that you are doing this work in us. The work that you've started in us, you will complete. We just bless you, Lord. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the Helper. And we thank you for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It was such a privilege to share with you this morning. May you be blessed. May you have an awesome week. See you soon. Bye.